Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Hello, Impactful Parents. It is Question and Answer Thursday, and today we're going to talk about how do you pick a caregiver for your child. So listen up, because this is a good one, and if you don't know, my name is Christina. I am founder of The Impactful Parent. I come on here every Thursday and answer one of your questions that you submitted live here. And you can submit your question for next week by either just sending me a direct message on social media, or you can email me at theimpactfulparent@gmail.com. So let's get to our question today. And again, our question is all about how do I pick a caregiver? Now, it really doesn't matter whether you're picking just a babysitter or a nanny or a live-in kind of caregiver. I'm going to recommend pretty much the same thing, because either way, you're putting a lot of responsibility onto this person to take care of your child, and you want to take this process seriously. I see that the biggest mistake that so many parents make is trusting the platform in which they're trying to find their caregiver. For example, if you were to go on to a platform like care.com, it says on there like, oh, we screen and background check our nannies or our babysitters. Well, that's great and all. However, I would not just trust that particular platform. I'd also go through these series of questions that I'm going to be offering you today. And that's true with any platform that you're going to use, not just care.com. I've actually have hired some people from care.com that were fantastic, but I did go through the process I'm about to show you, because there are on every platform, there's going to be some good eggs and there's going to be some bad ones, and we need to figure out how to weed those out. So here we go. First of all, the first thing you're going to do when you're trying to pick your caregiver, and then this is specifically, as I talk today, it could apply for infants, but because we are a school-aged parenting platform here at The Impactful Parent, where we have kids that are of school age, the things I'm going to be talking about are two geared toward that. So I want to keep that in mind. However, a lot of this is applicable still to the infant also. Okay, so the first thing you're going to look at is, before you even get started, before you even find anything else, ask yourself two important questions. And the first one is, what personality qualities are you looking for in your caregiver? And when I say personality qualities, I'm looking at things like, oh, do you want dependability? Do they need to be punctual? Do they need to be loving and like a caring kind of person? That kind of quality set. The second question you're going to ask yourself is, what skills am I looking for? Because these are two different things. So the skill sets you're looking for are really dependent on you and your own household. Are you looking for somebody to help you clean? Are you looking for somebody to help you do laundry? Are you looking for somebody who can drive? Those kind of skill sets, because you need to analyze that in order to even figure out what kind of questions you want to ask your potential caregiver moving forward. And now you're going to make your questions, after you've analyzed those two, based on Bloom's taxonomy, which, if you don't know, and I'm a teacher, that's why I'm a nerdy person right now, where I'm saying crazy things like Bloom's taxonomy. It's I highly recommend it. And what it really is just a way of questioning and thinking. And it comes from a very basic level and then gets a little bit more difficult every single interview or every single through this pyramid of Bloom's taxonomy. So I highly recommend that you have a minimum of 4 interviews with your caregiver, the potential caregivers, and they must be on 4 different days, okay? That's a minimum. And interview one, let's talk about what's going to go into every single interview. And interview one is going to be the bottom of that Bloom's taxonomy profile of how to ask questions. And this is recalling information. So interview one is just, hey, I like to get to know you. Who are you? You're going to be asking questions like, if it was a date night, tell me about yourself, tell me about your job experience, like, where have you been? Tell me about, and you can talk about job experience beyond caregiving too, because all that is relevant information for their responsibility level. this interview not only is just interview one, just like, hey, getting to know you, it's very superficial and a very level of just, hey, what's going on? But it's mainly, the main objective here is for you to tell the potential candidates your rules, your expectations. And what I do with this is after I do some of that, hey, how are you? I go through, like, this is what I'm looking for. Bam, 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 bam. And I make my list. And it goes back to, these are the qualities I was looking for. And these are the skill sets I was looking for. And if that fits you, then I need you to email me and tell me that you're still interested in this interview, and we'll go to the next process. And I do say email or use a text message, because I feel like, especially for the newer generations of kids, they do not know how to communicate honestly sometimes with an authority figure. It's very difficult for some people to say, you know what, it's just, this isn't for me after hearing all of that. That's really tough for some people to say. I don't want to do that anymore. So instead, what they do a lot of times is ghost, right? We don't want that. We're not trying to get people to ghost you. So it's much easier for somebody not to tell you in person, but instead to say, hey, why don't you give me a text message or email me and tell me whether or not you're still interested. I also tell my potential candidates that not to send me that text or email the same day of the interview. They need to think about it for at least a day. Okay, so they can tell me the next day, they could tell me the day after that, and I do put a deadline on, tell me by this time. Because obviously you're looking for some kid or some person to take care of your children. You can't take forever into this process. And if you're going to do four different interviews, it needs to have some kind of deadline after each interview. So that's interview one, very superficial. But again, just to reiterate, the main goal of that one is not only just to introduce yourself to somebody and get to know them, but it's to tell them your expectations so that they are very clear moving forward what they're getting into. And then they can decide whether they're still interested in the job position or not. Okay, interview number two. Interview number two is a little bit higher in the questioning process, so now we're understanding questions. And what this means is you're going to explain to me the ideas and the concepts you have about taking care of kids. So tell me about a time when maybe a child got hurt under your care. What did you do? Okay, you're trying to get an idea of how they take care of children. Some people are very authoritarian and, you know, that my way is the way and that's what I'm, you know, that's what they want to do. If you're looking for that kind of person, then awesome. Other caregivers are going to caregiver differently and they're going to maybe collaborate more with the child. That's the kind of thing you're trying to get through into interview two. What kind of caregiver, what's their philosophy? How do they care for kids in general? And so maybe you're asking them to say, tell me about families that you've worked with before. And you're asking them, what were your responsibilities with those other families? And then tell me about their children. Did they have easy children or did they have difficult children? And if they had a difficult child, what did you do? How did you handle that? What did you learn from those experiences of all the other kinds of different caregiving experiences you've had in the past? So that's the kind of questions you're going to be doing in interview two. And again, at the end of interview two, you say, thank you for your time today. I would like for you to respond whether or not you're still interested moving forward and send me that text message, send me that email within the next 12 or 24 hours, and then we'll proceed to the next one. And during any of that time, you can also come back to them if you didn't like their questions. You got to trust your gut with this, parents. If you didn't like what they're responding as, then tell them in that email or text message us also, thank you for your time, but it doesn't seem like this is, that we're going to be a cohesive fit, and good luck on your way. So moving on to interview three. If they get to interview three, this is more of applying questions. So now, you want to ask them to use their experience as caregivers to tell you about what would they do in particular scenarios. And again, all of this goes back to those qualities you're looking for. So if you're looking for a driver, for example, and they're taking your child from point A to point B and happen to get into a car accident along the way, That's what you want to know. You're going to put them into these scenarios and say, what would you do? You are now in the car with my child. Somebody hit you, or maybe you hit somebody on accident. What do you do? Those kind of questions are really important for you to understand how they think, how the thought process of this caregiver works, and are they responding the way that you would want them to respond? So you're going to, it's that caregiving philosophy again. Another question I have in my notes here that I would ask is, if my child is crying and they will not stop crying, what would you do? What would be the steps that you would take in order to solve that problem? What would you do if my child fell and got hurt, but you couldn't reach me for some reason? In interview three, it's also important to meet that person in person. And I say just you, the parent, as an interviewer. Don't meet the family yet. You can meet with the spouse or your spouse if you want to, if they want to be a part of this process. But when you get to interview three, now you have a better understanding of these candidates. And this is when you really want to meet in person versus over online, if at all possible. I know that online has given us, you can meet people online and that's fine, but there is something special about meeting somebody in person and getting that true vibe from them when you're in that in-person setting. So I highly recommend that in interview three, it's in person. And then you go to interview four. And again, before I forget, at the end of interview three, you ask them again, give me 12 hours, let me know if you're still interested in this process. Then you get to interview four. And interview four is, again, the very minimum of how many interviews I would go through. And they must be on different days. And interview four are more of your analyzing questions. And this is where you will need to ask questions that allow you, actually, to analyze the information in the last interviews, the interviews one through three. So it's going to be, this is where you're going to be starting to check references and saying, okay, those people that you talked about in those previous interviews, talk to them in person. See what if those families said some of the same things that the interviewee was talking about. You're verifying all the information from those previous interviews. I like to talk to the parents of the person I'm trying to hire. And it doesn't even matter if there are young adults and kind of out of the house by then. I still really like to talk to the parents because parents have a different perspective on their kid. And just something I think I feel comfortable with. One of the other things I like to do is, especially if it's an online interview, is ask my candidates to take their computer around and show me the room that they're in. And usually they're doing the interview in their own bedroom, or to take me around their home and show it through me through the camera. What this tells me is some of the other interviews in the past, maybe one, two, or three, I would have asked things like, you know, are you a clean person? Do you clean up after yourself? Do you know how to do laundry? Do you know how to separate the whites from colors and things like that? Again, those are skill sets that were easily asked in the previous interviews. So now I'm saying, okay, show me your room. Now, it's really impromptu. So a lot of interviewees will be like, ooh, whoa, really? Like, you want to see my room? And I'll say, like, yes, I really do. Because if they're saying they're a really clean person and then they show you their room and there's messes all over, again, you're point of interview number four is to verify that all the information in one, two, and three was real, was truthful, was correct. And if their house or their room is just chaotic and crazy, it tells you a little bit more about that person and whether or not you would like to hire them, right? If being clean is something that's important to you, other people may not be. So, check their references, talk to as many people that know them as you can, and ask them questions, kind of like show me your room, that verifies information from the past. In interview four, if it's in person, this is also the time where I would have them now meet my children and spend some time with me and my family. So the previous interview, interview three, it was still me in person with that person. Now, interview four is when you finally get to meet my children. And by interview four, I have narrowed down many of the candidates. Now I'm only probably looking at two or three candidates at most. And so I would take each person to come and actually spend some time with my children because I want to see how they interact with them. I would ask them to, for example, create an activity where they're going to be ready to take care of my kids for an hour and a half. And I don't tell them what that activity is. You can even just say, hey, I'm going to have you babysit for an hour and a half, but I'm going to be downstairs. I'm not really going to be in your space. This is going to be a trial run to see how you act and on how you interact with my children. And you can be really honest about what you're looking for. Like, I want to know how my kids interact with you and how you interact with them and if it's a good fit. So you give them that hour and a half. Some people will come in cold turkey and just think they could just take care of your kids, which is absolutely fine if that's what you're looking for. Some other people will come in with gauged activities of how they want to interact with your kids for that hour and a half. So again, it tells you all that information from the past. Is it valid? Are they really using those techniques that they have been talking about? And then you, after interview four, would talk to your kids because now we are talking about school-age children. So how do you know, did you like that person? You know, what was the good vibe from that person? Was there a bad vibe from that person? Now you start interviewing your kids about how do they interact and if they really did like them. At the end of this interview, again, now they had a chance to spend time with your children. So you can ask them, hey, if you're out, that's okay. Let me know. Again, here's 12 hours. Please respond to me via text or email and let me know if you're still in to proceed moving forward. I think that's about it where I go through everything. When you invite them over to your home for that hour and a half, it's also nice to like maybe have a dinner with them, a short conversation before. But I do recommend it be an in-home babysitting kind of experience where you're still in the home and you don't really leave the home quite yet with the stranger that has never been with your children yet. So those are my recommendations of how you would go about interviewing someone. I know it's kind of labor intensive, but again, you don't want to put the wrong person in the responsibility of your children in their hands. If it's the wrong person, you need to catch that early. And the more questions that you can ask, the more insightful things that you can say in this trial run. And again, minimum of four interviews on different days. It gives you a bigger perspective of what this person might be like and if you can really trust them. So I hope that really helps. I hope that you have a question for me for next week. And if you do, be sure to DM me or email me at theimpactfulparent@gmail.com. And maybe next week I'll answer your question right here. Thanks, everyone. So until next time, remember, parents, you got this. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.